Well, tonight we're going to finish exploring how we might make more progress in our victory over the enemy, the spiritual enemy of our flesh. And of course, you remember at the outset of our series on progress of victory on Sunday nights this year, we learned that the three main enemies that we face in our lives as Christians are the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil. We've already looked at the enemy of the world. In a couple weeks, we'll start looking at our ancient foe, as Martin Luther described the devil in his famous song, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." But for tonight, we're going to finish up looking at the spiritual enemy of our flesh. And even one more way to fight against the foe of our flesh. Even one more weapon that we can use, and really we must use, to wage war against the flesh and obtain progress in our victory over it. Of course, as we've already considered, undergirding each of the weapons that we've considered, God gives us to use them, but only in the absolute necessity of depending on the Lord and dwelling with His Spirit on a day-by-day basis. We can never do any of these things that we've looked at without depending on the Lord and dwelling with His Spirit on a day-by-day basis. We will never be able to overcome the power of our own fallen flesh apart from the power of God. I mean, that's basically why we must depend on the Lord and dwell with the Spirit, because we are powerless against our flesh. Sometimes we feel like, well, if I got the right enough willpower, I can get over some of these things. We don't have enough willpower to get over these things. We need spiritual power to overcome these things. And so we learn from Romans 7, 24 and 25, that whenever you feel defeated by your flesh, even as the Apostle Paul did, and even feel compelled to say and ask with him from Romans 7, 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" Sometimes we feel that way, don't we? We feel defeated because of our flesh. What is the answer? What is the only solution against the struggle of our sin? Romans 7, 25, Paul says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord." Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the power. Jesus is the solution to being defeated by the foe of our flesh. So we need to depend on Him. Progress in victory over your flesh can only come when you depend on the Lord and His victory through His own death on the cross and resurrection from the dead. But it doesn't stop there. We also learn from Galatians 5:16 that even as we struggle with our flesh, and that flesh continues, sometimes it feels stronger the more we live. Sometimes it feels stronger than our own changed and cleansed spirit. I mean, I think this is too what Paul had in mind when he wrote those verses in Romans 7. But once again, we need to remember, only as we walk in the Spirit will we not be able to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Apart from dwelling with the Spirit as He dwells with us, again, we are powerless against the foe of our flesh. We will never be able to overcome it. And so, yes, we can be defeated by that enemy if we do not depend on the Lord and dwell in the Spirit. But then, as you pursue that relationship, as you pursue that fellowship with God through His Son and through His Spirit, God does empower you. And this is the hope that we have in Christ. This is the hope that we have as Christians. God will enable you to use these other weapons that we've looked at. And again, most of them are on your lesson guide even tonight. So that, as Paul puts it in 1 Corinthians 9:27, we can now keep under our bodies in order to bring it into subjection. Now, we know that the flesh is not just our bodies. The flesh, according to the New Testament, deals with our fallen flesh and even our fallen desires of our body. But Paul said, you know, I've got to keep under my body. And even those sinful desires and those sinful struggles and even those natural desires and those natural struggles, I've got to keep under my body in order to keep into subjection. And that's what all of these D's help us with. As we depend on the Lord, as we dwell with the Spirit, we will experience more and more victory over our flesh by using these means. So again, to review one more time. To fight against our flesh, we need to learn to deny our flesh more and more. Just like he says there in Romans 13, 14, make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. If we put things in our way that we know we will stumble over, we're making provision for the flesh and we will fulfill the lust thereof. And so if we do want to fight against the flesh, if we do want to have victory over our lusts and our sins and our temptations, then we must make sure that we do not feed it. We do not provide for it. We do not put things in the way that we know we will stumble over. Make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Deny it. We also need to learn to detest our flesh with a holy hatred. Yes, this holy hatred is to extend to the flesh, but even as we learn from Jude 23, hating even the garment that is spotted by the flesh. So those things that are associated with the flesh, the things that are tainted by the flesh, the things that contribute to our flesh, some of those things we just need to deny and detest and get rid of so that we can fight the foe of our flesh. From Ephesians chapter 4, we learned that we need to discard our flesh, which involves the putting off of that old man. That's another description of our flesh. But as we put off, we also what? We put on. And we have the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ and his righteousness and his faithfulness in order to enrobe ourselves in him so that we can truly discard those things that lead us astray. We also learn from 2 Corinthians 7:1, we need to decontaminate our flesh. And so we know that, yes, when we do not deny it, when we do not detest our flesh, when we do not discard our flesh, there are times that we will be contaminated by our flesh. So we got to clean it up. How do we do that? Well, because of God's grace and God's mercy is provided a way. In 2 Corinthians 7:1, God says, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We can be thankful that there is still a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. The power of the blood of Jesus Christ is just as powerful today for your sin as it was when you were first saved, and it's just as powerful as it was 2,000 years ago when it was shed on the cross for your sin. That is how we can be decontaminated from our flesh and from our sin. And then we learned last time, we also need to learn to destroy or mortify or kill off the remaining members of our flesh. This is what we learned from Romans 8:13. Again, Paul says, for if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify, if you destroy, if you kill off even the deeds of the body, you shall live. And so we need to remember that sin is a serious thing, and we need to remember that our flesh is a serious foe. We must not take it lightly. And that's why, again, Paul is describing this in terms of searching out and destroying those things that want to destroy us, even our own flesh. Of course, how do we do that? By the power of God. By the power of God, we search and destroy as much as we can, as best we can. Well, tonight, we're going to look at just one more way, just one more way that we can fight against the foe of our flesh, and that's what we find in Romans chapter 6. So why don't you turn your Bibles there with me to Romans chapter 6. And so we come to this passage in verses 12 through 19. Of Romans chapter 6, we will learn that in order to defeat our flesh, one more D, we need to learn to dispose our flesh to God. Not to our sin, not to the devil, not to the world, but to God. To dispose our flesh to God. So in order to defeat your flesh, you need to give up your flesh, dispose your flesh to God. Now, the way that Romans 6 puts it is that we need to yield our flesh, as it says in the King James. We need to yield our flesh and our bodies to God, which simply means to offer your bodies, to offer yourself to the Lord. It's put in other translations, or to present yourself, or to put yourself completely at God's disposal. That's the idea here. To dispose your flesh to God is to put your body and everything about yourself to God. And that's what we've been singing about, right? I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. That's what disposing your flesh to the Lord is all about. So why don't we read these verses together, Romans 6, verses 12 through 19, where you will find five times the idea to yield and to offer yourself and your body and your flesh to either God or to sin. Romans 6:12. Paul says, "Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield or present or offer ye your members, even the members of your body, as instruments of righteousness unto sin, but yield and offer yourselves, present yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." Verse 14, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield, offer, present yourselves, servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked," Paul says, "that ye were the servants, the slaves, the bond slaves of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the slaves, the servants of righteousness. Oh, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded and presented and offered your members, servants and slaves to uncleanness and into iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield and offer and present and even dispose your members as slaves and servants to righteousness, unto holiness." So the weapon that we find in these verses that talk about yielding and offering and disposing ourselves to God is this ongoing disposal of your flesh to the Lord. So from verse 13, and of course we're going to just look at the bookends of this passage, verse 13 and then verse 19. But in verse 13, we first learn that we need to dispose our flesh to God in principle. We need to dispose our flesh to God in principle, and that principle is given to us in two ways. The first way, in verse 13, is to stop yielding yourself and your flesh to sin. To stop yielding yourself and your flesh to sin. Again, Paul says, "Neither yield, neither offer, neither present ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin." Now, the reason why he wants us to remember this is because sin is not your current master. If you are a believer in Christ and you belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer a slave, a servant to sin. Sin is your old master. In fact, he even describes it as being dead unto sin, dead indeed unto sin. You do not owe sin or the devil or the world or your flesh any more allegiance. But that does not mean that sin, that does not mean that Satan will not try to regain control over that part of you that is not entirely free from temptation. And of course, we know that is what? Our flesh. Our old fallen nature. Our old man. Our old fallen person. Our old flesh. Even Paul puts it this way, a little differently. He calls it your members. Even verse 12, the members of your mortal body. These members that we, again, live in and use in this world. We're still in this period and place of transition. Yes, the victory begins at the cross and really is complete at the cross, but we find this progress taking place in our lives. Eventually, it will be fully restored in our lives, but we need to remember that we still are in a place and a period of transition, and we need to dispose our flesh to God. Now, this would include the physical members of your body, of course. These are the things that so often get us into trouble, like your eyes and your ears and your mouth, you know, the things that we see, the things that we hear, the things that we speak. But that would also include the other members, the other natural members or parts of our existence as a human being, not just our outward senses, but even our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, this is one of the reasons why in Philippians 4:8, Paul presents a list of things that we should think on, right? Because he knows it's not just what we see or what we hear or you know the various things that we sense, but it goes deeper. It's within us. These are our members, all the members that make us as human beings. We need to remember that sin isn't really picky. It'll do whatever it can and pick whatever it wants in order to try to get us to fall into sin. It will use anything it can as an instrument or a tool to accomplish its goal of spreading more and more unrighteousness in the world in opposition to God. And so that's what sin does. Sin will take whatever part it can of your flesh, whatever thing that might be weakest in you, it will prey upon in order to keep sin feeding upon itself in your flesh and in this world. It will use whatever member of your mortal body it can to try to get in the way of God's work, both in you and through you. In fact, the word translated here as instruments is in other places translated weapons. And so what we see again is that this is a spiritual battle, a serious spiritual warfare that is taking place right now for souls and even our souls. Now, how can sin do this? Well, before you're saved, it's easy. Because you're part of sin's kingdom and dominion, and really all of your members of your flesh belong to sin already. But once you become a Christian, once you turn to and trust in Jesus as your Savior, the only way that sin can gain a foothold back in your life is if you let it. If you let it. And that's why Paul says, as part of your responsibility and purpose as a Christian, again, verse 13, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Don't do it. You have a choice as a Christian. You have the power as a child of God. As you depend on the Lord and dwell with the Holy Spirit, you can not yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto sin. But at the same time, now, you can start yielding those same members to who? To God. So this is it in principle. Of course, putting it into practice is a little more difficult, but this is the principle. Stop yielding to sin and start yielding to God. Just like Paul says in the rest of verse 13. But yield yourselves, present yourselves, offer yourselves, dispose yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. And your members, all the various parts that make up you as a human being, the senses, and everything else in between, everything beneath those senses. Yield your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Because who is your new master? You know, we saw this even this morning. When Jesus says, a new commandment I give to you. Well, he only gives us a new commandment because he's our master. He's our new master. Oh, and he is a good master. Because now we are alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And do you realize that God's desire is now the opposite of the flesh's desire? God's desire is to use you as his instrument and as his tool, even his weapon, to accomplish his purpose of spreading more and more of his righteousness in this world. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God wants to do that in you and through you? And so that is why we dispose our flesh to God. We don't have to give it to sin anymore. We can just give it over to God. This is what Jesus describes for us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5:14 when he says, you. He's talking to his children. He's talking to believers. He's talking to us as his church. You are the light of this world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. God can and God does use even fallen people like us, even with the struggles, the daily struggles of our flesh, as we yield and we dispose our flesh to God to give a testimony of his light to this world. And you know, God doesn't just want the members of your body as just a little bit here and a little bit there. Did you notice? He wants all of you. Paul says, don't just yield your members unto God. He says, yield yourselves unto God. Everything about you. Just like we sang, all for Jesus, all for Jesus. All to him I freely give. Your whole self. God doesn't just want your hands of service. He wants your heart. He wants us all. Of course, this is the important purpose that God has in our lives in Christ. But what does it mean to yield? What does it mean to do this of presenting ourselves and disposing ourselves to God? Well, a couple things. To yield, oftentimes we think of the yield sign that, you know, if you're getting to a traffic circle, depending on where you are at in the country or the world, thankfully here we have the idea of yielding before you get into the circle, but there are other places where the person in the circle has to yield. But basically, you're letting someone go before you. And isn't that a great way of thinking? Yielding ourselves, yielding our will, yielding our soul to God. Letting God go before us. Letting God have his way with us. So to yield means to willingly put yourself at his disposal. In ancient times, this term to yield was used to describe a group of soldiers standing in formation, ready to carry out the wishes of their commander. Now, of course, warfare back then is a lot different than warfare today. Warfare back then, they were in ranks, and you know they fought in a way that hand-to-hand combat was the way you'd win a battle and even win a war. But that's what they did. They would be in that formation, and they would wait to see or hear what their commander would have them do. And they were putting themselves at the disposal of another. To yield also means that you're available. You're available. That you're ready to do the wishes of someone else. That means that you have no other commitments or no other engagements to get in the way. Now, of course, we all have engagements in our life. We all have appointments. You know, maybe you have some appointments this week, doctor's appointments or school appointments or work appointments, various things like that. But when it comes to our spiritual walk with God, there should be nothing that takes precedent or priority than our appointment with God, our appointment with him. We need to be available to him at all times. We need to yield and put ourselves at his disposal at all times. It also means that you are accessible. Again, those soldiers, they were close enough to hear the words and the wishes of their commander. Now, sometimes there would be banners of flags that they would look for to see whether they're going to retreat or charge. But they're close enough to see it, or they're close enough to hear it. And we need to remember that to yield ourselves to God, we need to be accessible to God. That is, we need to be close to God. So we need to think about, who are we closer to today? Who is our flesh closer to today? Who are we disposing our flesh to today? Are we disposing it more to sin? Or are we disposing it more to God? So to yield means that you're available, that you're accessible, but also to yield means that you are allegiant. That is, you are dedicated to the person and purpose of another, and especially to the purpose and person of Christ. Who has your allegiance today? Your sin or the Lord? This is the principle of yielding ourselves unto God, to dispose our flesh to God. But then, as we come to verse 19, again, this is the other end of this message dealing with what we are to yield and dispose to the Lord. In verse 19, we learn that we also need to dispose our flesh to God in practice. So we know the principle, now we need to put it into practice. Again, Paul says this, verse 19, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. We'll look at that here in a moment. But then he adds, for as you have yielded and presented and offered and disposed your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, that was our past, that's what we did, that was our life, even so now, Christian, child of God, church, yield, present, dispose your members, servants, slaves, to righteousness, unto holiness. And of course, all that pertains to God. So Paul wants us to take what we know in principle and put it into practice and keep yielding ourselves to the Lord as his servants. Now, in verse 19, Paul first reminds us of the meaning of our service. The meaning of our service. He says, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Now, he doesn't say that he's speaking something that is not God's words, but rather they are God's words. But instead, he's referring back to verses 17 and 18. Where he describes the nature of Christian service using an illustration that we can understand better because we are still weak in our minds and our flesh. He knows that we're still weak, and so he wants to use an illustration that deals with something that we can kind of understand. And so the illustration is dealing with slavery. In fact, in verses 17 and 18, he talks about being a servant of sin or a servant of righteousness. In verse 19, he's talking about slavery. Now, by using this illustration, he's not condoning slavery. He's not making light of the conditions of slavery. Instead, he's using this illustration to drive home the point that you belong to God and you belong to him totally, just like a slave. Just like a slave. You know, when we think about slavery in our own nation's history, a slave, even an involuntary slave, was supposed to be totally committed to their master. They had a total obligation to their master and even a total accountability to their master. And that's what Paul is saying. Their slaves might have been a little bit different at different times and different places back in the Roman times, but that's what a slave and a servant was to do, a bond slave. Total commitment, total obligation, total accountability. And basically, Paul is saying, the way you were a slave to sin, turn that over and dispose yourself now completely to the Lord. You're his slave. You're his bondservant. So he also wants to remind us of the manner of our service. Again, there in verse 19, for as you have yielded your members slaves to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. That's what it did. That's how we were. That's how we lived. You see, sinners are not just held captive by sin as if they have no choice. I mean, certainly we are engulfed in sin. The truth is, sinners are captivated by their sin and render themselves as voluntary slaves. That's the way it was for us before we were saved. That's the way it is for the world, because they are not saved. But if you are saved now, Paul doesn't want you to think about what you did when you sinned. He wants you to think about the manner of your service. It was complete and total. And now he says, be sold under God. Don't be sold under sin anymore. Be sold under God. And that leads us to verse 19 again, the mission of our service. The mission of our service. Now yield, present, offer, dispose yourself, your members, servants to righteousness, unto holiness. God wants all of you. Every bit of you. You know, when we were looking in Revelation this morning in our adult Sunday school hour, in Revelation chapter 5, and we were talking about that angel song, right? The angel song, how they sang with a loud voice in Revelation 5:12, worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And remember the seven characteristics that they describe that Jesus, the Lamb, is worthy of? He said, or they sang, Lord, you are worthy. The Lamb is worthy of all power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And that's not referring to his characteristics. That's referring to any characteristic of those that we possess. He is worthy of us surrendering all and submitting all of our power, all of our riches, all of our wisdom, all of our strength, all of our honor, all of our glory, all of our blessing, whatever we have, however we've got it. Of course, it came from the Lord. We now offer it to the Lord. That's yielding. Yield yourselves, yield your members, yield your flesh wholly, wholly, completely to the Lord. God wants all of you. And he wants you to pursue after his righteousness, even unto holiness. That's the whole point of this progress of victory that we've been looking at on Sunday nights. It's so that we might pursue after his righteousness that leads to what? Holiness. That is, there's a progress in our righteousness. There's a progress in our holiness. We become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. The less we are like of the world, the less we let our flesh get in the way, the less we let the devil have his sway in our life. And he wants us to do this every day without delay. You see, God's righteousness and holiness for a Christian is worthy of your pursuit. It still is worthy of your pursuit. You know, I think the pursuit of holiness in this day and age has fallen on hard times. We think that because of all of the things that we are bombarded with, you know, progress in holiness is just something that we read about in Scripture, but we can't practice it in life. It's all about principle and not in practice. But here Paul says, pursue it. There can be progress from righteousness into holiness. There's this progression from glory to glory. It is still worthy of our pursuit to pursue after his righteousness and holiness, not merely in a passive way, but in an active way, to cultivate it in our lives. Now, even though this pursuit of righteousness is not saving righteousness, we're not saying that you can work your way to heaven, because that can only come through the justification of Christ, by faith in Christ. This we're talking about is sanctifying righteousness, where we become more and more like Jesus, less like the world. The flesh is not so easily besetting us anymore, and we're growing and looking more like Christ. Even as we're told in Hebrews 12:14, follow peace with all men and holiness, pursue holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. So this is how we can dispose our flesh to God. This is how we can experience even more progress and victory in our fight against the flesh, right? We have the principle, yield yourself to God. And now we need to put it into practice. So whenever the pressure builds to get you to give in to your flesh, and we know that day in, day out, the flesh is trying to put that pressure on, as you depend on the Lord and dwell with the Spirit, yield yourself. Present yourself. Offer yourself and all of yourself to the Lord. Remember some of the songs that we sang tonight. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you again that we have the privilege to consider what it takes and what it means to fight against the flesh and then obtain victory, more victory, greater victory over it. Lord, we know that the flesh is probably the greatest enemy that we face because it's the closest enemy we have. The enemies of the world and the devil lie outside of us, but the enemy of our flesh is within us. And so, Lord, we know that that struggle exists. We know that struggle persists. Lord, we hear it in Paul's writings. We see it in our daily lives. Lord, we experience it even when we are faced with temptations where our flesh wants to get the better of us in those times of trial and difficulty, to rear its ugly head and to keep us from glorifying and pleasing you. So, Father, I pray that as we think through this fighting against our flesh, that we will remember this new weapon that you gave us. And really, it involves all of the weapons that we've looked at. It's disposing ourselves and our flesh, all of our members, every part of us, from top to bottom, from inside to the outside, disposing ourselves completely to you. And Lord, when we do that, we will deny ourselves. We will detest our flesh. We will take the time necessary to decontaminate our flesh by availing ourselves of the blood of Christ afresh. And so, Lord, I pray that you will help us today and every day this week to put ourselves at your disposal. To put our flesh at your disposal. Lord, knowing that we will experience those temptations, we will experience those trials, we will experience those challenges, those drives, those desires that we know don't please you. But Lord, I pray that you'll help us to take the principle of yielding ourselves wholly to you, put it into practice by your grace, through your strength, again, depending on the Lord, dwelling with your Spirit, relying on you, step by step, day by day. But Lord, as we dispose ourselves to you, help us to realize that that really is the offering that you desire. Lord, we know in Romans chapter 12, it talks later of how Christians are to present ourselves, to yield ourselves, to dispose ourselves as living sacrifices unto God, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. Help us to see that that is what disposing ourselves to the Lord ultimately is like. It's sacrificing ourselves, giving ourselves to you, not in death, but in life. Not in the future, but in the present. Not anybody else, but ourselves. Help us, Lord, to learn what it means and what it takes to dispose ourselves to you and put that principle into practice. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.